All right. I'm going to attempt to finish this outline. The operative word is attempt. I'll try my best because I had not planned this. I was planning to finish one outline for each session. But this morning when I, yesterday, towards the end of the day, I was thinking, probably not. And it's really not this until this morning that the burden got more crystallized in me. In some of these things that I am presenting to you. You feel okay?
Yeah.
I just don't want to... I know there's quite a bit of expectation for this conference. I hope you're not disappointed, for sure. In fact, I feel a conference like this is needed by all the older brothers and sisters in the whole recovery. In a very good sense, and we don't do this kind of thing ordinarily. So you are sort of the injection point. So you got the trees, right?
Amen.
Today we don't. The house of Jehovah is a house of trees. The courts, the house. Just like in your house, you need some greens there. Sometimes it's plastic, but at least it's green, you know. But in my home, we have a few gardens there. And without the trees, you just feel something's missing. And the trees, like someone said, they don't move, they don't talk. They're just there. But their very presence inspires, the very presence refreshes and enriches our lives. And the same should be with all of us, would be all of us. We're at lunch, I talked to some saints and doing some recollection of the old days. And we all have our trees that took care of us, trees that put us on the right path, trees that care for us, and so we just need more and more of these trees, which are really Christ Himself expressed in and through us with His human virtues, which really is something that we're going to cover in message two, not this time, next time. Now, let's continue to talk about these wonderful things related to us in our old age. Romans 2. We can see from the Bible that a Christian need not regress and decline in this old age. Need not. I mean, they may. In fact, many do. But it's not fate. It's not, we don't have to regress. We don't have to decline. Four things to live long, whatever it is, you know, don't overeat, right? And so on. And one of the main things is to stay in motion. You know, old people, they say motion is lotion. The moment you start moving, that's when decline sets in. That's when you start to freeze, you start to fossilize. you start to harden. So you got to keep moving. I mean, I'm talking from experience. I mean, but the very thing that your body wants, or your, what you want to do is to not move as you get old. You just want to sit there and rest and be comfortable, when in fact it's the opposite that will keep you living longer and more healthy. And so moving is important. exercise and all of that stuff. So you cannot stop aging, but in the spiritual realm, not only can we stop aging, we don't have to age, we actually go the other way. We can get younger and younger and younger until we're in eternity. When there's no age anymore, there's no days and years and birthdays, and we're in a timeless element, and the only thing that is timeless, the only person that is timeless, is the very Creator himself, the one who made time and space. So we don't have to regress, we don't have to decline. So I would like to instill in you this fight, this charge to refuse and even to reject the thought of regression and the thought of decline. I'm talking about spiritually, but to some extent, even physically, to some extent. Now let's find out some cases. Moses, let's talk about Moses, was 100, that's why I love Psalm 90. A psalm of Moses. Lived 120 years old. Now, 70, 80, I mean, he beat those years, and then some, another 40 years, 120 years old, when he died. You know, Moses, no one found out where he was buried, he just disappeared. Was he raptured? I have no idea. But after he finished blessing the people, he just went up to the mountain and that was it. But while he was with the people at age 120, his eyes were not dim. He just broke the rule. His eyes were bright. That means really not just his outward eyes, but even his inner eyes. He never lost his discernment, you know? He was clear. You know, just like Jacob, Israel by that time, his name, you know, he said, hey, you put the wrong hands in the wrong head, you know, blessing. He said, no, I know what I'm doing. Maybe we have a little dementia, maybe we lost our memory, that can happen. But the inward eyes is as sharp as ever. Eyes were not dim, nor had his freshness left him. How about that? Sap and green? 120 years old, but inwardly, it's just fresh. Fresh as the morning dew. Freshness never left him. I like to be like that. I desperately want to be someone like that. And it can be. It can be. B, even at the age of 85, now we come to Caleb, one of the two who made it into the good land from the first generation. Caleb was still as strong as he was 40 and could go to battle. Now, this is a guy that was not only existing and just kind of breathing, so he's living long. He was fighting. He was doing battle at age 85. Brother Lee was born 1905. At age 85, he was... What year was that? 1990. Oh, I remember 1990. 1990 was sort of the tail end of a huge rebellion among us. The biggest turmoil that we ever experienced. I was there, so I know, in Anaheim. At 85, 90, he was fighting. He was fighting and leading us in the fight because we didn't know how to fight. That very, very weird and strange warfare. It's possible. You know, you talk about Sister Rademacher. Those sisters, older sisters, many, they would come together to pray. You know, we'll cover this matter in the third outline about older saints forming prayer teams or prayer groups. I mean, they were binding and losing. These sisters, they are like lionesses, okay? Lionesses. Not timid, not, you know, like that. But they were fighters, warriors in their prayer and in their spirit. I saw it. I saw it. So, no, we don't have to fade away in that way. Brother Eugene Gruler Sr., I think he may be mentioned here later on, a brother that I got much help from and talk about a life-changing impact on my life as a youngster. I was 20 years old or something. Again, this is L.A. He died in his home on a chair while he was shepherding a sister. That sister, I think, should be still alive in the southeast. While he was shepherding her, he went on to be with the Lord. And that, you can say, is a battle. Because when we engage in service, any kind of service to the Lord, by definition, we're engaged in warfare. And so he was fighting to the end. To the end. What a pattern. What a pattern. Can you fight at still 80 years old? Just like when you're 40 years old? Yes. Yes, you can. See, the three top apostles. Now we come to the new apostle. Some examples in the New Testament all shone brightly at the time of their death. It's really the fulfillment of that verse in Proverbs. The dawn of the light of the dawn, am I right? They don't go sunset. They keep going brighter and brighter and brighter until they reach noon and they just stay there. They don't decline. They don't go. There's no sunset. Spiritually, there's no sunset. They just reach noon and they're just there. And even at the time of their death, they shone the brightest. One, when Peter wrote his second epistle, it was close to the time of his departure from this tabernacle, but he still reminded and exhorted the brothers while he was yet in his tabernacle. In particular, he said that he was an eyewitness of the Lord's glory and power, 2 Peter. There was absolutely no waning of the brightness of Peter's shining. Somebody say, every countenance, or the countenance of every martyr, is a shining one, or is an angelic one, every martyr. So Peter died a death of martyrdom, not in a shameful and wasted way, but in a glorious way. Shining brightly. Paul, he said, quote, "For I am already being poured out," you know, this were his, so to speak, last words, "and the time of departure is at hand," he knew. "Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, with which the Lord, the righteous judge, will recompense me in that day. We can see from just these verses that the hope Paul had toward the Lord was brightly shining. You don't have the feeling that Paul reached maturity, then he started to kind of fade out and diminish and kind of, you know what I mean, just disappear in that way. They all left at noontime, in a noonday situation. I hope, brothers and sisters, all of us, spiritually, we would all just go to noon, and that's it. And that's how we will meet the Lord, at noontime. Like that Samaritan woman, at noon we will meet the Lord. What hope he had. Today with older folks, it's just a sense of hopelessness. There's no hope. What hope? You look at the news, there's no hope. Look at society, there's no hope. Look at yourself, there's no hope. It's just like that. But we have a living hope, don't we? And Christ in us is the hope of glory. 3, with the Apostle John, who wrote, this now come to John, who wrote this, his gospel, his epistles, and the book of Revelation during his old age. He was the last, possibly the very last, of the early apostles to die. So he was very old, very old. This shining is most apparent. There's no decline at all in the life of the aged John. Actually, Revelation was not the last book to be written. You know what the last book? It's the Gospel of John. It was written after the book of Revelation. So, no decline. You may say, well, these are very special apostles, very special people. That's true. But they're also our patterns. In principle, we can experience what they did. D, our old age need not be the days of deterioration. It should be days of fullness. Fullness of Christ. Fullness of days to us should be the fullness of Christ expressed by us. All right, next, let's come to 3. Now we come to these two wonderful saints who occupied a place in this transitory period between the Old and the New Testament. You know, actually, they predated John the Baptist. Most of us remember John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of Christ. He cut the way, am I right, to usher Christ in. Actually, there were two who did that before John the Baptist. Very, very important. So, in the New Testament, Luke 2, 25 and 36, it mentioned two elderly saints. Let me turn to the scriptures here in chapter 2. A brother named Simeon and a sister named Anna. These are good two names you want to name your grandchildren. Simeon and Anna. Let me read just those two verses to you. 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout. Righteous towards man, devout towards God, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Now, this consolation is not a what. This consolation is a who. This consolation is the Savior Jesus Christ, the consolation of God's chosen people. Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And verse 26, and it had been divinely communicated to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit. Notice in three verses, the Holy Spirit is mentioned three times. There has to be something about this Simeon in his relationship with the Spirit. He must be a man of the Spirit. He did not have the life-giving compound, you know, consummated Spirit living in him. But he did have the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit that was with him, that was communicating to him. And he came in the Spirit to the temple, and when the Spirit parents, the Lord Jesus' parents, brought in the little child Jesus for them to do according to the custom of the law concerning him. And he received, Simeon received Jesus, the babe, into his arms and blessed God and said, now you release your slave. In other words, now I can die. Now I can go. Master, according to your word, in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvations. Look, this Simeon, he may belong. He was born in the Old Testament, but he departed in the New. All right? Here he did not quote the commandments. He did not quote the law. Here he spoke something, I believe, from the inspiration of the Spirit concerning the New Testament Christ, the Savior. So you and I may be old, but we don't have to be those who belong to an old age. You follow me? An old period of time. We can be those who belong to a new period. A period that we're waiting for. A period that is to come. Which you have prepared before the face of all the peoples, a light for revelation of the Gentiles. Again, he's talking about Jesus. And the glory of your people Israel. That's what the Lord is. To the Gentiles he was light. To Israel he was glory. And then he continued, Simeon blessed them, blessed the parents, and said to Mary, his mother, the Lord's mother, behold, this one, this baby, Jesus, is appointed for the falling and rising up of many in Israel and for a sign spoken against. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the reasonings of many hearts may be revealed. Point is, he was prophesying. He was prophesying Christ that he had always waited for, always anticipated. Now he's seen him with his own eyes. He spoke about him. This is the God-appointed one. That means God's anointed one. This is the Messiah. And that he would be a sign, a token, opposed by people, contradicted by people, that are motivated by God's enemy, etc., etc. So this is Simeon. All right? I'll talk about Anna in a moment. So here, back to the outline. A, the passage concerning Simeon mentioned the Holy Spirit three times. One, the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. Today we elderly saints in this room are more blessed than Simeon because the Holy Spirit is not only upon us, but within us. I'm very burdened these days, dear saints, about the work of the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow I'm going to go to Fremont to meet with the church there. The church in Fremont adopted me, or I adopted Fremont, I don't know. That's my home church in East Bay. And I'm pondering what to share, and actually I had some feeling already besides this to speak something about the Spirit, the work of the consummated Spirit, especially the intensified seven spirits today. Now, that Holy Spirit, not the seven spirits, not the life-giving Spirit, because at that time the Spirit was actually not yet, according to the Lord. But still, it is the Spirit of God, it is the Holy Spirit. We, the elderly saints, brothers and sisters, are more blessed than Simeon, a lot more blessed. Because that Spirit today is the consummated Spirit. It is the process consummated Spirit. It's the Spirit that compounded all of Christ's, not only person, but work. All his attainments and obtainments are all what compounded, like the compound ointment, into the Spirit. This Spirit today is all-inclusive. The whole triune God is in this Spirit. The incarnation of Christ, the human living, the death, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension, all of this have been compounded into the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit, since we have received, and now he is in us. He's in us. Simeon did not have that. He only had the Spirit upon him. But he also did receive revelation from the Holy Spirit concerning Christ. We all should be like Simeon, who receive a revelation from the Holy Spirit related to Christ. Well, dear saints, we're not too old. You and I, being older saints, we're never too old to receive more revelation. We all have to pray as elderly, as age as we are. Lord, I have not finished seeing. I need to see more of you. Amen. That's what makes brotherly brotherly. He kept seeing. He still wants to see more. He wants to learn more. And I hope I am like that. I'm not done. I want to see and know more of Christ himself. Don't stop. Don't stop pursuing the Lord. And don't stop learning God's word and the truth, the divine truth that is embodied in the scriptures, in God's word. Don't stop pursuing the ministry. You know, we now very much are promoting the reading of life studies, at least 500, right? If you say, I've finished all the life studies, well, go back again, because you'll find out how much you have missed. I do that, and daily I find out how much I missed. Even I was there, you know, sitting there in the meeting. Where was I? I like to promote reading the life studies until the Lord Jesus comes. It's too many pages, too many books, and you will never, never see enough. You will never see enough as long as you have that pursuing and learning heart. This is what makes Simeon different. Simeon saw that the Lord Jesus was both the consolation of God's people and God's salvation. I mentioned that. In his old age, the elderly Simeon did not care for anything other than Christ. Oh, I love this. I absolutely love this. You know, this is the definition of being simple. Being simple doesn't mean you're dumb, you know, that you're childish or you're a simpleton. No, no, no. That's not when we say simple. Simplicity is when you're finally, ultimately reduced to nothing but Christ. Now that is simple. I suggest that all of us can, me included, can spend less time on this to learn whatever things and spend more time on this, huh? And learn what's eternal, what counts. Devote your time. You know, you have more time, he said. Don't squander your time. One way is to spend time in the Word of God, in the Lord's Word. Okay. B, in his old age, the elderly Simeon did not care for anything other than Christ. Every day he focused on Christ based on God's promise. The one thing that would be a tragedy if you lose this, okay, is lose what? You lose your seeking. You lose your appetite. You lose your hunger somewhere along the line. Well, I've been around. I read the books. I know this, I know that. But it's not fresh. It's not new. You have to pursue. You have to plunge in. You have to still spend the time. So another thing older saints can come to do besides prayer is to come and study the Word. Study the Word with the help of the ministry. Simeon was inwardly filled with Christ as the consolation of God's people and God's salvation. He was charmed and captured by Christ. Wow. 3, Simeon is truly a good pattern for us. A, today, what do we elderly ones think about? We have to realize that to think about our children so much is to look for trouble. Well, there's some truth to that. When we think about our children so much, it's not to not think about them, but too much. Not only are we unable to render them help, but sometimes we may be bound by them or cause them to be bound by us. This is truly pitiful. Now, we have to do our duty. We're grandparents. We should be good grandparents to our grandchildren. But there's something about being too much, overly so. You sacrifice something marvelous, and that is Christ himself. Now we come to Anna. After the account concerning Simeon, the Gospel of Luke gives the record of an elderly sister named Anna who loved Christ very much and pursued Christ. Let me read these verses about Anna, shorter, briefer. And she, Anna, was a widow up to the age of 84, who did not depart from the temple. Now, she's really a tree, right? Never depart from the temple. Serving God, worshiping God with fastings and petitions night and day. I have to believe these fastings and petitions have to do with the Lord's first coming. In a very good sense, the Lord came because of the prayers of these devout and godly saints. Night and day. You know, you go back to Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5, it talks about the widows. It talks about their prayer and so on. So there's something to the prayer of older saints. How good it is to have in a church where some older sisters and some older brothers together or separately they just have this ministry of prayer. They just pray. And you know what, saints? The prayer ministry is actually the highest ministry there is. In all things that we do to serve God, nothing can trump prayer. Nothing is more important than prayer. And young people can pray, but they don't pray like old people. Because they don't know God as well. How about, sisters, come together and pray for the new revival. Pray for your church. Pray for your elders. Pray for the young people. The things that you see are lacking or short in the church, you pray. Rather than talking and gossiping and criticizing, you bring it to prayer. I don't know nowadays what the culture is in the Lord's Recovery in the churches, but in the past, there is this good culture of the older sisters praying. Often not that many, but they were consistent. Once a week, some twice a week, just coming together to pray. We need many, many more Annas in the church life. Luke 2, well, let me finish reading. And at that very hour, she, that is Anna, came up and returned thanks to God and spoke concerning him, that is the Lord, to all those waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Redemption of Jerusalem. The redemption of God's people is simply Christ himself. Luke 2 mentions these two elderly saints. These two elderly saints showing us that they both consider Christ, their hearts were on Christ. That's it. You know when you talk to someone, their heart is just all on Christ. They're not super spiritual in that kind of weird way. But you know that in their heart is just it's just Christ. This last Lord's Day, I opened the hymn. You know, the hymn that we always sing is 203. You know, in the bosom of the Father, that's popular. There's a 204 right after that. That one hymn on the praise of the Lord section that talks about the Father's delight in Christ, his Son. That one with the second line, losing sight of all but thee, that song. Gathered in thy name, Lord Jesus, losing sight of all but thee. Go back to that hymn for a little bit. I did. And verse after verse, I was just captured. I was enraptured. I was almost in a little trance there, pondering on and reflecting on the Father's heart for his only begotten. The love that only the Father knows towards Christ. The delight that only God the Father had for Christ. I think, I am not sure we will ever know, even in eternity. But singing that hymn caused me to realize that there absolutely is nobody, nothing in our Father's God's heart except His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if this is Christ, a God, don't you think that God wants that to be our case? That in our heart that we would have nothing but Christ and Him alone, Jesus only. When you are like this, brother and sister, you may not know all the, speak all the truth and all the points. You are just like that. I tell you, you are a tree. As a signpost, as a standard, as a model for us to follow. Two, Brother Lee's testimony. Quote, I would like to tell the elderly people that our children are not our consolation. Only Christ is our consolation and our salvation. The more the elderly people are focused on Christ, the more blessed they will be. Amen. Now I say again, I don't mean you just throw everybody out and you're just all for Christ up in the mountain somewhere. No. You know, the pandemic was just over. From the day of the pandemic starts, 2020, until now, my second daughter and her husband and their two boys, we decided to quarantine together. Remember that word, quarantine? Yeah. Lockdown. And now it's 5 years on. Three gen in the same house. I like to testify, first of all, that's doable. And number two, believe it or not, it's fun. It's happy. I mean, you know, there are other things going on, but so I don't mean that we disown people, right? I don't mean, you know, we don't take care of our family. These are responsibilities, and humanly speaking, we need to take care of our children very much. One problem in society is children lacking parental direction. I'll tell you, this is a big problem. I mean, not to mention divorce homes, not to mention one-parent household, children devoid of fatherly figures or they need their parents. They need their parents. But as much as we need to take care of our young, of our next generation, of our children, even their children, we need to focus on Christ. And the more we do this, the more blessed we will be. If we dream of Christ at night, think about Christ in the morning, talk about Christ all the time, and are full of Christ, we will be blessed. This is a blessed human life when you enjoy Christ to this degree. Sisters, do you have an aspiration to be Anna? Brothers, to be a Simeon? Really? I told the sisters, right, in some of my sisters' meetings, the more I read about sisters, the more I told the Lord, why didn't you make me a sister? A female. Then I can really, really experience these things. Well, that's not to be. It's God is sovereign. But I should like to be a simian in my old age. Sometimes in the meeting, an old brother would stand up. They're a little frail, they're not that loud, surely not that eloquent, but they opened their mouth in a few words. Christ flowed out. You know this brother, Eugene Grueler Sr., I told you he changed my life. That was actually over one visit. One visit to his home. He never sat in the front row. He never hardly spoke in the meetings. You know, in Eldon, if you don't speak, you're kind of strange, right? Because everyone exercised their spirit. But his thick German accent, he's just almost stutters. And so he comes to all the meetings, but he's not a speaker. And he knew it. What he did, he watched all the people, especially the young people. In those days, a lot of young people were coming in. And he will miss you. And soon enough, you'll be invited to his home, which is across the alley from the Eldon Hall, right across the alley. This is Eldon, this is the hall, the alley, and he was here. And the street he lived on is called Westmoreland. All right? And across from Westmoreland is where Brother Witness Lee lived. It's right there in the same. So he invited me. I think I spoke this testimony, gave this testimony before. Always, usually on Lord's Day, after the meeting, there, Sister Grueler served a wonderful meal as usual. And after that, you would sit down. And in that particular case, everyone left, and I was alone with him. That's why the story about him dying when he was shepherding his sister meant so much to me. And it was kind of like that. To this day, in my mind's eye, I can still see that afternoon. It was most likely it was an autumn afternoon. The sun was streaming through the windows, and he was sitting there. I was sitting here, just right in front. He got these big, bushy eyebrows. If you don't know him, you'll be scared, a bit scared. And a thick German accent. And I don't know what's coming, so he started to talk to me. Clearly he has prayed for me, and he was ready, prepared. And I won't get into the details. Basically, he told me the story of D.L. Moody. Dwight Moody, you know, the great American evangelist. His story, the story of D.L. Moody. How Moody was a shoe salesman, you know. Then he went to the British Isles, to England, to visit. And he was with the people that belonged to Keswick Convention, who were very, very strong in the matter of consecration. So he was there, and he got talking to some brother, someone there. And that nameless brother, and at that time, D.L. Moody was struggling with whether to continue his career, you know, selling shoes or whatever, or to be for the Lord entirely. And that man said to Moody, "Today, God is still waiting for one man who is fully consecrated to him." That did it to Moody. Came back, gave up everything, and the rest is history. Then Brother finished the story, Brother Grueler, in the most solemn serious and pointed way through his thick eyebrows. He said, Brother Minoru, God today is still waiting. One man who is fully consecrated to him. That's it. That was it. That was the time. By that time, I like to tell you, I was consecrated. I was. I was fully in the church life. I was crazy Jesus lover. I was active. The whole bit. So it's not like I'm new, I was cold, or I was, no. I was fully for the Lord. But I didn't know that story for sure. And when he talked to me, it was not just telling me a story, It was a process burden within him for me. And so when that word came to me, it was the Spirit coming to me. It was God appearing to me. So by that one sitting of a time with him, my life was turned further, right? My heart to be of use to the Lord, to dedicate my entire life to serve God was solidified and intensified and strengthened to the uttermost. So today, those few words, that's not even Brother Gurula's words. It's not original. He quoted someone who quoted that from some who knows what brother. And that impact was there. You know what was that? Let's come to, can you give me a tissue? Let's come to the last point. This is a good way to segue into the last point. And that is, we got to finish now. Jacob. When Jacob became old, this is Israel, fully transformed, fully matured, his unique job was to bless people. He had nothing else to do. He had nothing else to do anymore. He was old, he was feeble. But his only work at that time was just to bless people. And blessing people is not easy. It's not just God bless, God bless. That's easy. I'm talking about blessing people like Brother Grula blessed me. Blessing that can change your life. Blessing that can change the course of your future. Amen. Blessings that can change a man. He blessed Pharaoh. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. It's always the greater who blessed the younger. What does that mean? That means Israel was above Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is the top of the heap, right? Who was ruling at that time? Who was ruling the earth? It's not Pharaoh. It was God through Jacob, reigning in life. And then later on, he blessed all his children. My goodness. Remember the life studies? Wow. And all those blessings came to pass. Okay, let's finish here. In Jacob's old age, we see the maturity of one of God's elect. Starting from Peniel, when he struggled and wrestled the angel of Jehovah, which is Christ directly. Can you imagine a man wrestling with Christ and actually causing Christ to say, "Hey, let me go"? Now that's a pretty strong dude, okay? That is a pretty strong guy. Then his side was touched. His natural light was touched. Thereafter he began a stage of years of transformation, full of losses, full of dealings, including the loss of his most beloved Joseph. But he emerged at the end as a transformed one. Not much is said about Isaac in Genesis, but too many chapters devoted to Jacob's detailed experiences of being dealt with by God, by his father-in-laws, by his wives, by his children, by all manners of situation, all to make him Israel. You know, Israel does not mean the prince of God. Israel means him who struggled with God. That's the meaning of Israel. So here's Jacob at an old age, transformed, matured. The strongest manifestation of Jacob's maturity in life is the fact that Jacob blessed everyone. You know, the real blessing in this universe is simply God. You bless people with God. It's not a benediction, you know. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The love of God, the grace of Christ. It's not a benediction. That is a true blessing. You know, mirroring numbers, am I right? B, maturity in life is a matter of being filled with God as life. When you are so filled with this eternal life of God, you are mature. That's the meaning of maturity. And blessing is the overflow of life, the overflow of God through the maturity in life. If in a church we are short of mature saints, that church is short of blessing. We often said that with some older saints, even they don't say a word. Just the fact that they're still there, that is a blessing. And you all know I take this chance to close my message with Brother George New, who just passed away recently, was in Santa Clara for a long time. Am I correct? Yeah. He's certainly not a gifted speaker. And then because of his age and condition, he and his wife, they relocated to Irvine, where we are, because of the children were not there. And I visited him a couple of times. Someone like that. It's not just he lasted this long, you know, or he's still in the church. But somehow to have someone like him still in our midst, maybe not even in the meetings, because he couldn't come to the meetings, is itself a blessing. See, to bless others is to bring them into the presence of God and to bring God into them, that may they may enjoy the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. So what is to bless people? To bless people is to bring people into God or into God's presence. And also to what? Bring God into them or to them. That this very God can become their enjoyment. This is the blessing. I hope all of us would become, if we are not yet, such blessing. We're both the blessers, and we are also the blessing. To bless the saints, to bless those that we shepherd, those that we are helping to perfect, those things we care for, with God Himself. Now, I'm done with just outline one. Should we plan for a second conference? Sometime down the road, we can come to number two. It's better like this, I like it. A little bit more slower pace, right? I hope so. In between time, I hope that you would have a spirit of learning and get into this outline. This outline is quite good. You have to get into the footnotes, you have to get into some of the references, and you will receive a lot of light and a lot of help and blessing.